We're holding a Masechet Bava Basra in the fourth parak, Habocher at Habayit, and we're holding a Daf Samach Vav in the middle of the sugya, which we are searching for an understanding of the footnote that we were mekabel along with the Braita about the din of a tzinor that was hollowed out, attached to the ground, and then was going to be used for water flowing over it in order to fill a mikveh. And the question over here, is it going to pass the mikveh? So it said in the Braita that if it depends, if it was first hollowed out, then it was kavua, it doesn't pass the mikveh. The other way around, it does pass the mikveh. The footnote that we had with that Braita that was attached, that there was a doubt as to who had said this, because we couldn't figure out, didn't work out, not Alibi de Rabbeinu, not Alibi de Rabbanu. And we've been searching for which Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbanon are we talking about. How did we get into this? It doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything. Because we had spoken about a case that had some vague relationship to this, namely, what is considered to be Mechubar LeKarka when you sell a house. And Rebbe Eliezer had expressed the opinion that all things that are Mechubar LeKarka are considered to be part of the house. And this he argued with the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon said the only thing that's considered to be part of the house, if you literally will hollow out as far as the Machteshet was concerned, you hollow out the actual stone that was there as part of the wall. It wasn't something that was added. That's considered to be kavua when you're mocher. A Machteshet is a chakukah, even though, and I want to point out, there's a little bit of an inconsistency, by the way, in the Rabbanan. The reason I want to mention it today is because we're getting to a discussion of that issue. The Rabbanan, when it came to Machteshet, were machalik between a Machteshet kavua in a Machteshet Chukuka, correct? Which means that even if I ended up bolting my grinder to the ground to prevent it from shaking and so on, would not be considered to be Kavua according to the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Eliezer, definitely. Yet the Rabbanan themselves held that in its Strabuli, which is only a Mizgeret, but it's only a containing device for a Machteshet, is considered to be, for a mill, is considered to be kavua, which is a little bit strange. But if you consider the circumstances, it isn't really strange, because an itstrabuli is basically not meant as part of the actual grinding machine. It's something that you use to create a base for putting a grinder in your home. So that base, that isn't moved. The base is a base, and then you'll leave the base behind, take the grinder, and you're in a new house, you put in a new base. So even though it's far less, you would think, in a way, it's far less than a chakuka when it comes to the Machteshet, that's true. But in terms of your bittul to the house, they're going to take that into consideration as well. We'll see later today that that's important. But in any event, up to this point, we had a machlokes Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbanan whether something that was a kli and now you bolt it down is considered to be sold in the house. So we got into the question of how that would implicate dinim when it comes to tuma. Now, our response yesterday has nothing to do with it. They're two completely different sets of issues. One is a psychological issue about what you mean to include in a sale. Maybe it's nogea mocher ba'ayin yafa or mocher ba'ayin ra'a. What does that have to do with the technicalities of what is considered to be kavua and what isn't? Okay, we moved on from that to discuss a special case of a honeycomb. And there, too, we found questions about whether a honeycomb is considered to be mechubar lekarka, which seems to have direct bearing on whether a pipe, when it's mechubar lekarka, would be considered to be karka or metatali. We ended up showing that honeycombs are unique because they have a makor in the Torah for being called mechubar lekarka by definition, even if they're not even attached. So they're a type of tree, so to speak. So they're in, what? Hive? Well, I mean, a hive can refer to a natural hive, which we're not talking about over here. Honeycombs are where you create a hive where you're capable of removing the actual comb of honey that's inside. But it means a hive, you know, what they call the kaveret, as opposed to the natural hive. So those things are viewed as a new type of tree, so to speak. They're an extension of the earth's biology in a natural way. And no matter whether you were mechaber them, you weren't mechaber them, they're a tree. Fine. So we were left without any indication as of yet which Rebbe Eliezer the Chachamim, and it's a real riddle. I mean, it's like this is Fermat's last theorem, you know. You find this notebook with a brighta, somebody's got this scribble, gee, this doesn't work out according to Rebbe Eliezer or other up on it, and for generations it's going crazy. Which Rebbe Eliezer? Which Rabbanan are we talking about? Every time we meet one, it has nothing to do with this theorem. Okay. So today the Gemara now wants to continue with a new attempt to solve the mysterious note. Okay. And so today the Gemara says maybe it's Rebbe Eliezer in the sugya of the daf. Now, we're not referring here to the daf yomi. We're referring to what we thought was a baker's block, which is a piece of wood upon which you roll your dough and so on, right? It's a big, heavy piece of wood. Now, the truth is that it may not be referring to that kind of daf at all. It actually might be referring to a display shelf in the window, which would also be called a daf in a nachto, meaning in a bakery shop. There's a big difference between the two, because if it's referring to a display shelf, then it's probably made out of metal. You know, you click on those metal shelves. If it's referring to a baker's rolling block, then it's probably made out of a thick piece of wood. Now, it makes tremendous nafkaminas, because something that's made out of metal that is formed into a kli does not require a beit kibul in order to be mekabel tuma. Any kli at all is mekabel tuma if it's made out of metal. But if it's made out of wood, it is not mekabel tuma unless it has a beit kibul in it. So a simple daf, which is called pshute kli eitz, should not be mekabel tuma at all. Maybe there's pshute kli eitz that would be mekabel tuma midrabbanan. We'll see. And there is a special category of pshute kli eitz, which is pshute kli eitz that are used for sitting on. So if they're roid to be mekabel midras, then we have a special pasuk that says anything that can be mekabel tumas midras, from the zovs lying on it, can be mekabel tumas meis, by definition. Okay, but that's a new category. Stam pshute kli eitz would only be mekabel tuma. That's assumed in the rabbanan, and then we'll get into that question. So now, we take for granted at the beginning that when we're talking about a daf of nachtomim, the thing that makes it specifically a daf shel nachtomim is the fact that it's being used for rolling dough. Okay, by the way, I must tell you, this approach to the Gemara is really my own. It's not, you won't, in other words, it's a combination of areas we've shown him that may make the Gemara make much more sense. So that we take for granted that originally we're talking about this kind of daf, and maybe we're talking about a rolling daf. It may be in the end we're talking about a display daf, and therefore we're talking about a metal daf. Okay. So assuming that we're referring to a rolling daf, which is made out of wood, and we have a machlokas in which Rebbe Eliezer now is mitaher, and the chachamim are mitam'im, and now it says over here that we took this daf and we were koveya it bakot. Now, that certainly ought to involve the question of whether first I was koveya it bakot, and then I smoothed it out and made a roy for use, or vice versa, but nobody even mentions that. So it would appear from here that it's irrelevant. And we have a machlokas, according to Rebbe Eliezer, something that was kavua bakotel, whether it was completely usable before or became usable only after, it's always tahor because it's kavua right now because it's attached. According to the Chachamim, it's always considered to be tamei because it's not naturally attached, because I attached it. It doesn't matter whether afterwards, okay. So now we're saying, now here is a machlokas Rebbe Eliezer Chachamim with direct relevance to dinim of tumah v'tayra, which seems to be exactly what we were looking for. Because if we say, well, what about a tzinor? Well, over there we're mechalik between chokako lebesof kovo, or kovo lebesof chokako, works out according to no one. Money. E, Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to try to make it fit with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer here isn't mechalik, whether you're a chokako, so to speak, which would be the equivalent of smoothing the daf down, would be the chokako. Obviously, I don't really literally chokek a daf. But it would be afilu chokako lebesof kovo. He says it doesn't make any difference. It could have been a perfectly usable daf shel nachtomim that I had been using for years, and now I put it up on the wall and make it look pretty so that it's my first daf. Whatever. But once a kli, always a kli, never. Once it's kavua, whatever it was, it's kavua. That's Rebbe Eliezer's approach. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan is exactly the opposite. They say that the halacha is of afilu kavo, ulebesof chokako, it's always considered now, no matter what the situation is, to be a kli. Because they say it's tamei no matter when it is you did it. So if that's the case, it doesn't work out according to Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it's never considered to be a kli. And according to Rabbanan, it's always considered to be now a kli. And therefore, how could we understand this, the braita about the distinction between kavo lebesof chokako in light of the machlokas from Rebbe Eliezer and the Rabbanan? That must be what the last theorem note was referring to. Says the Gemara, why? I mean, that I can also address. That could work out okay. Because I could say, really, it's going a little bit of Rebbe Eliezer. But Rebbe Eliezer is, when he's talking about pshute kli eitz, Again, that's what we're assuming the Daf Shanach Tamim is about. You're talking about Pshute creates over there. He's not going to be machmir to say it makes an afkamina, whether you were chokik at first, whatever. Who cares? The whole thing anyway is only drabbana. Because Pshute creates would not be makabel tuma, but you're right. We know that because of the ekesh that the Torah makes between sak and eitz in the pasuk. So we say that the point of sak is that it's only makabel tuma because it's mitaltel malev rekam. So it has to have something in it. You use it to carry things with. And therefore, the kli has to be the same way if it's made out of eitz. The rabbanim perhaps were gozer, perhaps not, as I'll discuss in a moment. But the rabbanim, let's assume the rabbanim were gozer. Rabbi Eliezer says, so what's the big deal? We're going to be makbid. Lamaisa, right now it's kavua. Once it's kavua, forget about it. It's been your kli. Whether it was a kli, it wasn't a kli. It's always taught. But when it comes to the question of the tsinar over there, when it comes to mayim she'uvim, the mayim she'uvim is a serious shaylik. It passes mikvah diorita over there. We're going to be mak. Now, there is a serious question about what the Gemara is referring to when it says that Pshuta Kli Eitz is Mekabel Tumah D'Rabbanan, because nobody ever heard of such a gzera, Pshuta Kli Eitz Mekabel Tumah D'Rabbanan. The point is, as the Tosis points out, the only Pshuta Kli Eitz that we know are that are Mekabel Tumah are Pshuta Kli Eitz that, as I mentioned to you earlier, are Ru'uyin Lekabel Tumah's Midras. But that's the Diorita. So if this is something that somebody's going to lie on, even though it's Pshuta Kli Eitz, Mekabel Tumah's base, because of a whole different halakha, as a subsidiary of Tumas Midras, so to speak. That's the right. If it's not Royal Midras, it's not Mekabel Tumah at all, not even Midrabana. So the Rashbam says, well, it's true, but in the end, the Gemara is going to be talking about a display daf, and it's made out of metal, and therefore, don't worry about it. I mean, just sort of this is a dechia that we'll say, but we don't really stick with this anyway. Tosis doesn't like the Gemara is throwing out things that really don't have any bearing on reality. So he says, well, we do find an interesting middle area of Pshuta Kli Eitz. So those are Pshuta Kli Eitz that are called Meshamshe Adam. So let's say you have a knife, a wooden knife. It doesn't have any base kibul. It's a Mekabel Tumah. Bring a raya from a pusik, which Tosis says is only in a smachta. That's something that is Meshamshe Adam is Mekabel Tumah. There the Rabbanan said, because of its similarity, it's so clear-cut tool usage, as opposed to a daf, which doesn't really qualify as a tool. So there's a difference. The Rabbanan made Misham She'odim, because maybe that's the pshat over here. So if you make it a smooth daf and so on, then it's already called Misham She'odim. If you're looking, it would be the same type of distinction we would make in an archaeologist finds of tool use of Neanderthals. Well, what is considered to be a tool? Okay, so once already it's smooth and it's something that people use directly, and so that already we call tools. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So Mamela, the Rabbanan were gozer, he says, in this particular case. Okay. All right, but as I said, in the end, Lomaisa, we're not going to stick with this being the case. We're going to be talking about a metallic display daf instead of a wooden baker's daf. So, I don't understand. You're implying that the difference between the two sugyas is that Pshuta Kli Eitz is the Rabbanan, meaning, but the Chakik of the Tzinor is Nagei Mayim She'uvim, which is a Diorita. Now, who ever heard of Mayim She'uvim being a Diorita? Bechlal, the She'iva Diorita. I said, that can't be the Nafkamina, but Karmel and the Rabbanan. I thought throughout Shas we are convinced that Mayim She'uvim is a problem of the Rabbanan. Now, this is very weird. Because if anything, all over Shas, we find that Mayim She'uvim, the Mokar, is from the Pasuk Ma'ayan, more Mayan, and so just like Mayan is Bidei Shamayim, so too the Mikvah has to be Bidei Shamayim. So in Achinami, the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam both say, of course She'uvim is a Diorita, but it's only Diorita if a Mikvah is made out of She'uvim. But if you have our whole big focus and fixation almost on Mayim She'uvim, is that, as the Lashon of the Braita that we're looking for by the Tzinor, is that it passels the mikveh. That is a drabonon construct. The fact that if a mikveh was initially chaser, adding shuvim to it makes it unusable as a mikveh, no matter what you do to it, that's crazy. That is really a takana drabonon to avoid people making mikvahot out of mayim shuvim. So that's what it's referred to. Now, the other shittas are all not like that. And that even that halacha could be diorita. And that there is a mayim shuvim, that would be a diorita if you go and take a dip in a bathtub, meaning in a glorified kli. So if it's a kli that's not makhub lakar, a bathtub maybe is makhub lakar, but if it's a kli that is stam on the ground, like the old-fashioned bathtubs, you fill it up now, and you fill it up with rainwater, and you think you got yourself a beautiful mikveh. You don't have mikveh, that's in a kli. So that is mamish, that's the actual diorita, that it has to be natural. That's the meaning of it's being natural. That it can't be in a kli. But all of these other mayim she'uvim things, they're really drabbanan. All right. But whatever it is, Certainly the case over there was referring to a tzinor that passels the mikvah. So that's referring now to a drabbanan halacha. So how can you make the distinction between pshutei kli eitz, where over there Rebbe Eliezer is makel because it's a drabbanan, it isn't mechalik between chokko kol besof or besof or the chokko, and the case of mayim shuvim, which is the oraisa, if the case of mayim shuvim is also not the oraisa. So that's not the answer. The ode, besides which, we aren't even talking about a baker's daf, in the sense of a rolling daf. As Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Hanina explained, we're talking about a display daf that's made out of metal. And that was the machlok of the Rebbe Lezer and the Rabbanan. It's talking about a daf shel matechet machlok, which, if anything, flips the whole discussion, because now the daf shel nachtomim is the diorita and the tzinor is the Rabbanan. So, boy, that was a really weird answer that you gave. So, well, okay, fine, very good. So let's switch it around. There's your answer. Let's go back now. Instead of saying it's Rebbe Eliezer, and the difference is that here it's the Rabbanan, let's say it's the Rabbanan that argued Rebbe Eliezer, the difference is that here it's the Oraita. So in asking me the question, you basically provided me the key to the answer. Le'olam de Rabbanan, he? So that Lamaisa, the Rabbanan, really would hold that there is a nafkamina between Chokkogol and Sof Kavo. But the nafkamina over there is by She'iva. I mean, over there, the Rabbanan were Mekel. And by She'iva, which is the Rabbanan, they say, no, over there, only if you were first Chakika, then you were Lesef Kavod, the Zavadin of a Kli. But like this, I'm not, when it comes to the Oraita over there, I can't make that distinction, obviously. Says the Gemara, I don't get it. I mean, if you're saying that the important thing is that according to the Rabbanan, it really doesn't matter whether Chakika, Lesef Kavod, Kavod, Lesef Kavod. You're saying in terms of the actuality of the definition of what this thing is, when it comes to the Oraita, we'll be machber and we'll say that it's a kli. When it comes to Rabbanan, we'll be mekel. So why are we making the nafkamina between chokakol v'sof kava kava v'sof chokakol? You're making up now a distinction. It's weird. If you want to tell me we're not machber on it in the Rabbanan, so then we shouldn't be machber across the board. If we are machber on it, then we're machber on it across the board. I understand the pun. Yes, I see what it is. So, but if... he can't resist. But he denies it. Absolutely denies it. But if you're saying now this artificial distinction between Chakar Kol Bezov Kova and Kova Bezov Chakar, where does that come from? Says the Gemara. If this is the case, Yachi Afil Chakar Kol Bezov Kova Nami. Where did that difference come from? I mean, what suggests that difference to you, which has no Makar anywhere else? Says Gemara, no. Because, look, the point over here is we are trying to establish through Gzeira D'Rabbanan a distance from the possible use of Mayim She'uvim for an entire mikvah, right? So, therefore, what we need to do is focus on the use of a kli when it comes to mikvahot. And we need to create an obsessive interest in whether anybody who's learned mikvahs knows the extent of that obsession. So, we need to create that interest. Therefore, once there is a shame kli on something, that's when we want you to focus on. If there's no shame kli on it ever, so then we understand, okay, then we don't have to make a gzeira on something that really is anyway, mini rice are perfectly okay. So, shiny hatam de iket torat kli alav betalush. Somebody saw you walking around with this kli. So you're going to say, oh, but it doesn't matter. Now it's screwed into the ground, and therefore he's not going to come to confuse you. Oh, come on. I mean, it's a big nafkamina. So you're saying, but it doesn't have any real makor in the Torah. So? But that was the point of our gezeira. If we're not going to use this as a difference, you might as well forget about the whole mayim shuvim jazz, because then people, bichlal, they won't make any nafkaminas. They saw a bathtub that was collected to the ground. That was good. So now if it's in a real bathtub, it should also be going, where does it stop? So mamela, once something was seen as a kli, then we give it a din of a kli. That's what the Rabbanan is saying. So now you'll say, so that isn't it a kli in the ground? No, because at that point it was kavua before it was a kli, and then we make that as the point that distinguishes between kli and kavua, when it comes to mayim shuvim, of course. Now, that would explain the whole thing. So now we know what the reference was to. And we know, of course, the solution. We know both what the reference was to the machlokas by daf. Daf shal nachtaimim, that was a display daf made out of matechet. Didn't work out both alibid rabbanan and alibid rabbeliezer. And we have solved the problem. It does work out if we take into consideration the difference between the gezeira de rabbanan and the mayim shuvim and the diraita of the daf shal nachtaimim. Now everything is solved. But continuing on, once we've raised the issue, let us remember the din of Ekshazroyim and why it would be important for us to decide whether something was kavay or besoif chakakai in dinim of Ekshazroyim. So let's just review. Kavay or besoif chakakai was an issue in Mechirat Bayit. True. It was also an issue, perhaps a completely different issue, when it comes to the halacha of Mayim She'uvim by a mikveh. It was also an issue when it came to the question of a daf of nachtamim, but it turned out either you held one extreme, you held the other extreme. Fine. But there's another issue that we haven't discussed, and that is the Torah gives us a multiple level of meaning in the pasuk of Kiyitei Mayim al Zera. Because it's actually kiyutan mayim al zera, which means it's passive. And there the Torah says, if water has been poured over zera, so then whatever that means, any foodstuff, that all of that is at that point roi to be bekabel tumah. But if there was never yutan mayim al zera, then it's not roi lekabel tumah. So this is called akshes roi. Now since it writes kiyitain without a vav, so we darshan, both of those Vashonas are important. Kiyutan is indeed passive. Kiyutain is active. So how will the twain meet? They will meet in a passive act that was done with my conscious willingness for it to be done. So in other words, if I put something out in order to get wet in the rain, to be washed off, obviously I don't bring the rain, it's kiyutan. But since I want it to get wet, it's kiyutain. That's what the ambiguous yitan yutan meaning is in the pasuk. Now, we learn out in the pasuk as well that this is only if the intent was not for a regular. Everything obviously is wet at one point or another if it's growing in the field. It's only where something was not wet for purposes of karka is it considered to be called the kiyitein dunya to kiyutan. So if it rains now on something which is kavua, that's my question. Let's say it rains on the wall. And I'm very happy for it to rain on the wall because the wall was dirty. And now the water flows off the wall and makes my tomatoes that were sitting there in a bushel, it makes them wet. Well, that's not considered to eat in, because I didn't want it to fall on the tomatoes, but I was talking about the wall. The wall is mechubel lekarka. I'm simplifying because the question of whether the wall is mechubel lekarka when I build a wall or only when it's a natural wall is a big issue in chulin. And it's part, really, of the machlokas here between the Tosfos and the Rashbam. But let's simplify. Just keep things simple as have been in our sugya until now. We only have two issues, real estate versus betaltelin, and the question of what bolting down is considered to do. So now, the Gemara is about to engage in a further question. We've talked about the relationship of kavai after it was chakuk, or first kavo, and then chakuko. The nafkamina is lagabi, the dinim of mayim shu'uvim. You know, we spoke about whether there's a nafkamina when it comes to a daf, which is kavua, now in a wall that's made out of matechet. And we've spoken about this machloket also when it comes to the inyan of a mechirat bayit. Now we have yet a new sugya. What are the implications of water falling on such a thing that was originally a kli, like the itztrublim? So the itztrublim was now, if you recall, it was the base that was for the rechaim, and since the rechaim shakes a lot, so the grinder, we put a little base down, which we attach to the ground, and that thing is considered to be, as we mentioned earlier, that's considered to be part of the ground, even alibad rabbanim. Even though the rabbanim, when it comes to a machteshet, which is now a grinder, a machteshet itself would be never considered to be part of the ground. Of the house itself. But that's because it's the type of thing that's like your KitchenAid in those days. So you would be moving it, so we look at it as metatling, probably because of the way you think about it. So now the question is, all of a sudden we're going back, what it appears, to Rav Yosef looking at the machlokas, Rav Eliezer and Rabbanan, about mechubel lekarka when it comes to a bayit. Because boy, Rav Yosef, megish amim, where you had in mind that you want the rain to fall on an itztrublim, what would be the din? Can that water, which after falling in itztrublim, falls now on some tomatoes that were on the floor of the kitchen, are those zroim mukshel lekabel tumah or not? So I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer the Omar, and here's where we run into trouble. According to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, look what's quoted from Rabbi Eliezer, kol ha'mechubel lekarka reyo kekarka. So then the itztrublim would certainly be part of the karka. If it's part of the karka, it's not going to be machshir zroim, just because water fell on it. That's like water that falls on the ground. Problem is that the language Rabbi Eliezer, kol ha'mechubel lekarka reyo kekarka, occurs in which sugya? The opening sugya that deals with mechira, which lechora we've already said is unrelated to the question of tumah v'tahira. So why in the world are we bringing this up again? Says the Rashbam, look, it can't just be Nogia the din of Ayin Yafa Mocher, even though we said that originally, but we don't stick with that. Because he says it as a universal rule. Kol HaMechubar LaKarka Hareo KeKarka, which doesn't seem to have anything to do with Ayin Yafa. And furthermore, it can't be a coincidence that when it comes to the Daf, where Reb Eliezer says that even if it was first Chokok or L'Besof Chibro, or Tikno in that case, or L'Besof Kovo, so over there, the halacha is that, or Libet Reb Eliezer, that it's considered to be part of the ground. So according to him, Bichlal, there's no question. Furthermore, says the Rashbam, according to the Rabbanan in the Sugya of the Daf, it also can't be a question. Because the Rabbanan over there say that Tolosh or L'Besof Chibro remains Tolosh, so here should certainly be the Gabi Tuma. Be for actions Roy would also be Tolosh, and therefore it should make the tomatoes Roy L'Kabel Tuma. The only case, therefore, that we could be asking this question about is in the question of the Rabbanan, who argue with Reb Eliezer in a funny way. Because they say, a machtesh et, which I hollow out of the ground, that's part of the ground. But a machtesh et, that I bolt down to the ground, that's not part of the ground. But an itstrublin, it is considered to be part of the ground. So now, do we say that the svara over there is that they hold that actually anything which is mechubar l'sof tolosh is considered to be tolosh, and that's the reason that you do not sell anything that is currently kavua, in which case, by hefshet tuma, if it's tolosh, it would be considered to be falling on a kli. Therefore, if you had in mind that you wanted to fall in the machteshet that was bolted down, it would also be machshir. And even if you wanted to be falling on the itstrublin, it must be, if they distinguish between an itstrublin and a machteshet, it's not because the itstrubel is called mechubar, because the machteshet is mechubar and still it's called tolosh. So it must be that there's another issue over there. It must be that it's simply because the shayla of mocher b'ayin ra'ah, who mocher. It's just that the itstrublin is like a wall of the house. It's always meant to remain on the wall as opposed to an actual grinder, which is a kli that you'll move from house to house. And so that means that Lamaisa, even if I would hold the walls of the house that I put on the ground and subsequently attach it, that that's considered to be tolosh for Hetsher's Rayim. I obviously mean to include it in the sale of the house. That could be the point. So therefore, I'm not certain what they hold. Maybe they hold like Reb Eliezer that it actually got be Hetsher's Rayim. Or maybe they hold that they know that really it's considered to be mechubar l'karka, and there's only an issue of ayin ra u'mocher. This is how the Rashbam learns. Taisus doesn't like this. Taisus says, look, there's got to be a reason that we select the itstrubel as opposed to simply saying, what is the din of kovo, or l'besof chibro, or when achokako l'besof chibro, or the case of smoothing it out, or the sof kovo, what's the din the gabi hechshes roim? That's all you should have asked. By focusing on the itstrubli, you're telling me that there's something unique about this case. Furthermore, says Tosfos, I do not agree that there's different rabbanans that argue on Reb Eliezer. There's no reason to say that the rabbanan of the machteshet is different than the rabbanan of daf. It's all the same approach. What we are asking, says the Reb, is dafka according to the Rabbanan of daf, not the Rabbanan of machteshet. So we want to know, they hold that daf is tolosh when it comes to tuma. So then if that's the case, the Rashbam said for sure, l'gabi hechshes is roim, it's all the same thing, right? So it should be considered to be a dover tolosh. And that would be very nice according to the Bani Armor, who holds that tolosh is l'besof chibro, even of a wall. So when a wall is considered to be mechubar. And now my question is, assuming that all the rabbanon are the same rabbanon, so we have the rabbanon about a daf, we have a rabbanon about a machteshet kavua, we have a strange case of the itstrab. The itstrabil, ndafka the itstrabil, we said the itstrabil is bottle when it comes to mechira, and that is said by the same rabbanon who would say the machteshet is not bottle when it comes to mechira. Now this is what troubles us here, says Tosfos. When we say it's bottle, do we mean it's bottle the way a kotel is bottle? And it's bechubar, therefore, even the gabi hechshes roim? Or do we say that actually, when it comes to Hekshar Zeroyim, it's not bottle the same way a wall would be bottle. It's only bottle in terms of Mechira, because it's like Mechir Bayin Yofa, which doesn't help for Machteshet, because you never intend to sell your grinder. That's the point, because it wasn't meant to remain in the house. But in its Trubli, it's not quite as Kavua as a Kotel is. So according to Tosis, the issue is the extent of the Kviut and the application of that level of Kviut to Hekshar Zeroyim. Even though, says Tosfos, you're right that the Gemara does make reference here to the words that Rebbe Eliezer stated of Kol HaMechubar LaKarka Hariyo KeKarka, all of that is just, it's just an easy way of referring to it. Obviously, we would not have been able to bring a raya from Mechira directly to Hekshar Zeroyim. It's only after we see the entire sugya. With Daf, we're really asking from the Daf and its implications to Hekshar Zeroyim, specifically when it comes to Rabbanan, how kavua do you mean it? That's the shaila. The Rashbam doesn't even entertain a how kavua. He doesn't really relate the sugya to the sugya in Chulin, which distinguishes between things that are naturally mechubar and things like even a wall, which is clearly included in a mechira, but which perhaps has different levels of chibur leaning Hekshar Zeroyim between the Hekshar Zeroyim for El Koysel and Hekshar Zeroyim of an Itztrubli. The Rashbam says, well, the only reason we talked about this Itztrublin, even though it's sort of weird, is because normally people maybe wouldn't want the other things in their house to get wet. I mean, certainly don't want a Machteshet to get wet, because then how you're going to grind things in it gets sticky. And Itztrublin, which always gets dirty with chaff and junk that's sawdust, so to speak, that gets thrown out on the bottom, people always like it to rain on the Itztrublin. So in order to indicate that you like it, we talk about Itztrublin because that's the norm that you like. That's a very different approaches to the sugya. But basically, our question that Rabbi Yosef is asking, we understand what we're talking about. How do we view the nature of the chibur according either to the Rabbanan of Daf or according to the Rabbanan of Mechira? Teku. Shalach Leirim Nechemia Breder of Yosef Larabba Breder of Unazuti, who lived in Narda. There was a woman that was being sent to a Bezdin in Narda by Reb Nechemia Breder of Yosef for purposes of suing her brothers for part of the Erusha. Now, how could she sue? She could sue based on the Ktuva that gives a daughter a right not only to Mizonot, but to a dowry. So if there are multiple daughters, and so on, each one takes one-tenth of what was left, and you remember the whole sugya in Ksuvas. If we have one daughter, the Bezdin makes an estimate of what it is that the father would have wanted. If there are no sons, then obviously this whole thing doesn't apply, because they simply split the Yerusha, whatever it is. So, but here, this was a classic case in which they had no das, so there were others, and therefore would be a 10% of whatever was in the property, but with one important caveat that relates to our sugya, and that is, as opposed to Bizman Hazeh, other inyonim of Ksuva, which are collectible even from Metaltalin, this tonight of giving a woman her Parnasah plus her Nedunya, the Nedunya part is only collectible from real estate. And there was never this takana of collecting it from anything but real estate. So therefore, he sent a letter from his Bezdin to the Bezdin in Narda, where she was going to collect from, that read as follows: Ki atya hach itta lekamach. When the woman who bears this letter comes in front of your Bezdin, we've already established that agba isu nechase, collect 10%, afilu mitzrabuli derechai, collect it even from the itzrabuli. Huh. So in other words, because that's what we give for the marriage nedunya of an estate. If we assume that the norm, if we don't have an indication otherwise, the norm a father leaves for the unmarried daughters at his death is that he would give them 10%, he's willing to spend that much on a wedding. So if he's willing to spend that much on a wedding, we take that as part of the ksuva, that we're kaveya, we take that out of the estate and force the brothers now to allow this woman to use 10% of the father's estate for her wedding. Which includes, of course, in the dunya, all the elements of the wedding, I mean literally the wedding. So in other words, what was he saying? That even though the itztrubli is now, you'll say, it's removable, so l'maaseh shehavdinah metaltalin, clearly he was writing him to follow the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, that an itzrabuli is considered to be karka neta. Right? And therefore, there would be no problem of collecting from the itzrabuli. And it's based on this. The Rashbam brings all discussion of Rabbeinu Fanano, that from here you see, since the Gemara brings this in at the end, the only thing that it's adding is the fact that in terms of day-to-day life, a Bezdin made it clear, as a matter of course, that the standard collection would be Alibi de Rabbi Eliezer. You see from there that indeed the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And that's the point of bringing this story. Now, this last piece is really a little bit strange, because there's no proof at all that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and yet nobody even seems to relate to that point. All along, we've been saying that the Rabbonin agree when it comes to Yitzrabuli, that Amokhar Sabayis Kaneh, the guy was sold the Yitzrabuli because it's part of the Bayit, which means that it did work out, if you look, according to the Rabbonin. And therefore, what in the world is the Rashbam talking about, that this would only work out Aliba Beshita of Rabbi Eliezer? There's a lot of discussion in the Achronim about what exactly the proof is. There's another issue here that it's kedai to mention, which is that all of this is based around the assumption that afilu bizman hazeh, the din of mizaynet isha and the banos, is different than the din of isur nechasim, and that isur nechasim, you're never gover from a tatlin, because it's not really considered to be one of the tanei ketuvah. You can only be gover from karka. Of course, that's the basis of the whole discussion. The thing is, though, that not everybody agrees with that, and Tosfos actually writes in Ksuvos that bizman hazeh, we are gover isur nechasim from a tatlin, because we know that that's basically the way in which people generally come along now to be Macy Benotayim. They're Macy Benotayim from their bank accounts, not from Karka. Therefore, it's considered, he says, to be an umdana, that if they would have given their bonais from Metaltalin, then that means that the Tanayak Suveh would in fact include that we should be Oimed their Das and have it collected by Metaltalin.
Omer Avash, once you brought up this issue, I just want you to know that Kavina Bay Rif Kahana, when I was by Rif Kahana, the best that they were even collecting for the marriage of a daughter, Magvina Afilu Miyamala Dabat. They would even collect from rent that was due on Bati. So you say rent, certainly that is the biggest metaltalim you could have. Yes, but we're talking about over here, if you rented out the karka, and Shechirut is only Mishtalemet Besof. So then if she gets married and has a tviya with the lien that she had against this karka, then any money that's going to be coming in is going to go towards that lien also. And that's called part of the karka. So forget about Yitzrabuli. Even this case is going to be collectible from for this, even though it's not literally real estate. Income from real estate of this type, where it's Mishtalemet after the tviya, where the lien was against the karka, is considered also to be karka. Shall we finish or shall we start tomorrow? Start the Mishnah already tomorrow. Okay. Ela Rebbe Eliezer did daf, titzan. Daf shanach tomim shikeva obek hotel. Rebbe Eliezer mitayr chachomim mitamim. Now man, I Rebbe Eliezer filo chokol b'sof kavo'o. Since nobody even mentioned that issue. And I Rabbanan filo kavo'o b'sof chokonan. Le'olam Rabbi Eliezer, v'shayni pshutik li'etz, the tum'ah de Rabbanan. What are you saying? That what? Mechal the Shiva, the Oraita. The Shiva is also the Rabbanan, or Kamilan the Rabbanan. Not to mention the fact that whoever said we were talking about pshutik li'etz. Om Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, bedav shomatechet machloka. Okay, fine, so let's reverse it. Le'olam Rabbanan, v'shayni Shiva de Rabbanan. Wait, but if that's true, where do you get this difference between Chokol B'Sof Kavo? Yoke Afilu Chokol B'Sof Kavo Nami? Yes, but Shani Atam Dika Torah Kriya Lav V'Talush, that's the whole point of the Gzer, is it not? Boy Rav Yosef, Meid Yishamim, Shechashav Elohim Ladiach Ata Yitztrubilim, Ma Hu Lahakshir Behen Et Hazraim? So Ali, but the Rabbi Eliezer, the Yomar Kolam B'Chubar L'Karka, Reu K'Karka, under any and all circumstances, Loti boyelacha, because it's definitely not going to be a maksha, because it just has a din of falling on the ground. Kiti boyelacha libra rabbanan. The rabbanan say, Enu kekarka, my take. Sholach le Rav Nechemya, brother of Yosef, the rabbi, brother of Unazute, Lenardo, who was the abbased in there, quote, Ki akya hach ititalakamach, agaba isur nechasi, afilum itstrabulin derechaim, and pay no attention to those accountants who refuse to take it into account. Omer Rashi ki avina be Rav Kahana magvinan afila me amala debate.